In the first session, we embarked upon paragraph C of our study of divine guidance. It is divine will and the divine decrees. And we noted under point two the definition for the divine decrees. I'll read it one more time for old time's sake, and then we'll move on. The decree of God is His eternal, holy, wise, and sovereign purpose, comprehending at once all things that ever were or will be in their courses, conditions, successions, and relations, and determining their certain futurition. Point three, there is a technicality that we have to pause for a moment and observe. It is a nuance, okay? So please bear with me on this. The will of God, and I want you, when you write your notes, to do it this way. Put it in quotes. We might say the term, the will of God, in common usage, refers to what God desires of an individual in a particular situation. The will of God, in common usage, is what God desires of the believer in a particular situation. What does God desire for me to do? Whatever the answer to that question is, defines the will of God for that particular circumstance. This is not how will is used when referencing the divine decrees. When discussing the divine decrees, will of God means the decision God made in eternity past from divine sovereignty, which establishes that certain things will occur while other things will not occur. When discussing the divine decrees, the will of God means the decision God made in eternity past from His divine sovereignty, which establishes that certain things will occur while other things will not occur. In other words, this is what you do. And so you have omniscience. Omniscience can discern what is a potential. That's potential history. What if you had married the unbeliever? What if you had married Fred Jones or whatever? These are all potentials. What actually occurs? Omniscience is able to discern from all that is knowable that which actually occurs, and that goes into the computer of divine decrees. And once it is decreed, once it is in here, then that becomes God's will. And it will not alter. In other words, God is saying, this is what will happen. Now that is a bit different from the original definition I gave you. The will of God, in common usage, refers to what God desires of an individual in a particular situation. When referencing the divine decrees, the will of God has to do with God determining that certain things will occur while other things will not occur. So please understand the slight difference that occurs in that particular analysis. Now, under point three, I want to give you another brief definition of the decrees. The decrees of God are His eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of events which happen in time. The decrees of God are His eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of events which happen in time and the precise manner and order of their occurrence. Nothing happens that God does not will to happen. If God is God, He must be the God of the universe, and the universe must be under His total and complete sovereignty. Nothing may be out of His control, and nothing may be outside His will. Whatever occurs, He must will it to occur. That's slightly different then, you see. Once you move into time and you start dealing with human volition on a day-by-day basis, involving the immediate circumstances that have to be resolved and the challenges that face your volition. In each individual circumstance, God has a desire that you do it the correct way. And whatever you determine that desire is, then that's the will of God for that circumstance. So there is the playing out of human history, and then there is the observation of human history, and the will of God has a slightly different definition for each. Now, you may or may not be confused about that, but we're not going to dwell there any longer. We'll move on. Point four. Although in eternity past, God decreed all the events of human history to be certain, this should not cause you to conclude that knowledge of doctrine is superfluous. Although in eternity past, God decreed all the events of human history to be certain, this should not cause you to conclude that knowledge of doctrine is superfluous, unnecessary. If things are just going to happen the way God says they're going to happen, what's the need in sweating this out? Can I go home and watch TV? The Rams will be on in an hour. You really get some sleep when that happens. Do not be confused by the fact that because God knows how you will decide, that He in any way influences how you will decide, or determines how you will decide, or in some way makes it to where you don't have any other choice other than to make the decision He's decided you will make. You make Him the author of sin when you do that. I can't help myself. I sin, but it's not my fault. It's been decreed. It's the will of God. That's why I drew the distinction there. What's His desire for you to do when your volition is challenged by the SWAT team? To stand fast with a problem-solving device, not to submit and get involved in the menage a trois. It's God's desire that you stand fast under pressure. It's the will of God that you do not sin. But the fact that you do sin is in the divine decrees because you freely chose to do so. And He understood that. And He willed that that would be a part of human history. So you say, there's no reason for me to sweat out these boring Bible classes. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. And God will understand your que sera, sera attitude. And you will receive divine discipline as a result of your passivity toward the Word of God. Although in eternity past, God decreed all the events of human history to be certain, omniscience, this should not cause you to conclude that knowledge of doctrine is superfluous. The issue in the angelic conflict is volition. You must choose to do the right thing. Because God knows you will choose correctly doesn't mean you don't have to go through the process. You do. Five, it is important to remember this principle. In human history, the sovereignty of God and the free will of man must coexist by divine decree. And God has so structured His perfect plan that human volition remains free, and His divine decrees can manage it for His own good purpose, to bring many sons into glory. So this principle must be remembered. In human history, the sovereignty of God and the free will of man must coexist by divine decree. And so we can redo our computer here just for a moment, and those things that God decrees are absolutes go into a ROM chip. These are programmed up here at the factory in the mind of God and cannot be altered. You have a PROM chip, and He goes and collects data from human history. How do people think, decide, and so on? He says, oh, that's how it works. So it goes in the PROM chip. What determined what goes in here? Your volition, not God's sovereignty. Your volition determines what goes on the PROM chip. The PROM chip may be programmed once and then not altered. Once you decide, you've decided. You cannot change history. And once you decide, it goes in the prom chip. You program that chip. You are the one who made the decision, and now you can't change it. So however you've been thinking, that's the way it's going to be for all eternity, because you can't go back and change that. But you can change the future. You can change wheel tracks of wickedness into wheel tracks of righteousness by the transformation of thought within your soul through the two power options and the three spiritual skills, and you can do it, for you have the power and you have the system. And if you do it, God knew it in eternity past and provided blessings as a result. And if you don't do it, he doesn't have to worry with the blessings, he has to worry with the discipline. And that's in the decrees too. It's God's will. Point six. The will of God expresses divine policy toward the human race, which is designed to guide and lead the believer to ultimate glorification. The will of God expresses divine policy toward the human race. And that divine policy is designed to guide and lead the believer to ultimate glorification. It is His desire that many sons be brought into glory. And the plan of God and the angelic conflict and human free will and divine sovereignty all work together to bring that about. And every time someone responds positively to the gospel of Jesus Christ to that degree, it has glorified God for all eternity. And every time a believer advances to experiential sanctification to that degree, it glorifies God for all eternity. And every time a believer dies physical death and moves into the third heaven for ultimate sanctification, that glorifies God to that degree for all eternity. Now that is His purpose, as we noted in the definition. 7. Divine policy is expressed by means of imperative moods, which outline God's desire for human thought, decision, and action. How do you think? How do you decide? How do you act? What motivates it? What directs it? Is it your opinion, your emotions? Guidance from counselors? Infatuation with certain popular figures in the entertainment or music field? I like the way Fred dresses, so I'm going to dress that way. What I'll do is I'll shave zigzags in my hair. I'll dye one side blue and the other side red. And I'll put a star on my face and I'll be a flag today. Well, this is America. You're free to do that. But I have other suggestions in a rather rustic setting. Over in Illinois, I was told one time how, if you want to really look bad, how to actually accomplish it in a way that can't be topped by anybody else. And I'll tell you that in private. Divine policy is expressed by means of imperative moods, which outline God's desire for human thought, decision, and action. So when you go into the Scriptures, your volition is challenged by Bible doctrine. And so here's the Scriptures, and this is the only method for determining divine guidance. You go in here and you pull it out under the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the divine power system, the filling of the Holy Spirit will act as your teacher. He will teach you the information under the grace apparatus for perception. And then once that is cycled into the cardia, see, here's the cardia, the stream of consciousness, 7 different compartments. And he goes through here and he organizes the information in the cardia. This is divine thought understood, DTU, divine thought understood. And then once this is processed in the cardia, you have to have this available to you for application later on. If you're going to make it all the way to Santa Fe, you have to be able to call this back up into the conscious mind. So it has to go down on the hard disk. And the hard disk is the brain. And the Holy Spirit lays the memory traces down here, where when He needs it under His recall ministry, He'll pop that thing up into your conscious mind, and volition can consider that all over again. Oh, I remember that, and I remember how I handled that, and it came out fine. That was divine guidance. you use it again, you see it works again, the wheel track is facilitated, and you have increased wisdom. This is how you get to Santa Fe. Every day, you slug it out. Learn as you go. Divine policy is expressed by means of imperative moods which outline God's desire for human thought, decision, and action. 8. These mandates communicate divine standards which find their source in divine righteousness. There is not one imperative mood, and this is your issue, find imperative moods, learn the do's and don'ts, that becomes policy. This is your daily operating procedure. And it says here in my point, these mandates communicate divine standards which find their source in divine righteousness. And if that's true, then when you lay this wheel track here, it is a wheel track of righteousness. It is based on God's integrity, His thought. This is the way to think. This is the way to decide. This is the way to act. You can have no compunction about doing things that way. That may not be popular. But who do you want to please, God or men? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So what do you want to do? Are you going to be a good soldier for Christ, or you want to impress the world? If I do it this way, someone may be upset. It'll ruin my social life. If I do it this way, someone will be upset. I'll have to break up with that guy. This, that, and the other thing. There are all kinds of rationales to keep from making waves when it comes to the Word of God, but you will compromise in any possible way to keep your name from being associated with the religious rite. Don't want that, do you? Lord knows I don't. I'm embarrassed to the very core of my soul about it in weak moments. We should all be embarrassed about the religious rite, the Christian coalition, and all of that madness that goes on in the political sphere. We are neither, I don't know about you, but I am neither a conservative nor a liberal. I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I've never registered politically. I will not participate in anything like that. I forget what it was someone asked me to do recently. I can't remember. Wanted me to do something in a political vein, though. And I said, oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Won't do it. Your approach should be as a biblicist. You're a biblicist. And a biblicist, on occasion, will do things under divine mandate, which would be interpreted by the casual observer as being liberal. Where, on the other hand, a biblicist, on occasion, will make a decision that will be interpreted by the casual observer as being conservative. And thus, you can be branded as either. But the correct evaluation would be biblicist. I do what the Word of God says. And I don't care what you think about it. And I don't really cotton to the idea of being called a liberal or the Christian right. But if you must make the assessment in such a manner, fine, but that's not accurate. And one of the, in my opinion, the biggest waste of time today is to get involved in politics. It's all a bunch of lies. These people are corrupt to the very core of their souls, and they do not intend to do anything they say. They're going to get your money, and they're going to make you a slave, and you may as well put it in your notes and get ready for it. Some of you are very well educated at being a slave since you've been under the tyranny of your first husband for ever since you believed in Christ. So you know how to submit to tyranny. These mandates communicate divine standards which find their source in divine righteousness. Therefore, 9, the will of God is the expression of divine integrity. The will of God is the expression of divine integrity. Go back to point 8. Make these things dovetail. 8 through 10 have to be taken together. These mandates communicate divine standards which find their source in divine righteousness. So the source of correct thought is the righteousness of God. How is that communicated? He is able to convey His righteousness in Bible doctrine. These are the imperative moods of Scripture, specifically the mystery doctrines of the New Testament for the believer in the church age. Therefore, the will of God is the expression of divine integrity. See, these are righteous standards for conduct, for life and action. They're located in Scripture. That's the expression of divine integrity. That's the will of God. 10. Righteousness is the principle of divine integrity, while justice is the function of divine integrity. Righteousness is the principle. That's the standard established by God's righteousness. Do you want to know what's right? Find out what God says is right. That's what's right. And that becomes the principle or the standard of divine integrity. Justice becomes the function. Righteousness demands that justice execute righteousness. And therefore, justice has to be just in all circumstances. And if righteousness is violated by the mind of men, then justice must execute divine discipline. If righteousness is honored by the mind of man, then justice must execute blessings. Nobody gets away with anything neutral. One or the other. And that's the way we want it. Every time we foul up, we need the goad and we need the discipline so we will know we have gotten off the beaten path. And if we're alert, if we're positive, if we want to do the right thing, if we want to grow in grace and get to Santa Fe, we have to know when we make a mistake. And the goads and the discipline inform us of this. And we say, okay, I make the correction here. Orient and adjust. We've studied all of that. Orienteering. And then you're able to get back on the wheel track and move forward. And then when you do it right, you get blessings. Now let's cross the river tonight so we'll be blessed in the morning after the storm occurs upstream. We don't have to handle cold-collared mules in the morning getting over slippery banks. If we stay on this side of the river, we could very dearly pay for it. And this is a touch-and-go, learn-as-you-go process. You are going to make mistakes, and you don't throw in the towel and say, I can't do this. Let's go back. That's what I would do if I was on that to Vanguard and rode up front and found those snakes. We'll get to those pretty soon. I'd ride back and say, why don't we just head on back to the house? I think I've had enough of this trip. That'd be my idea. But no. If you've determined that you can get there, I know I can get to spiritual maturity because God says if I will use the Word as a leadership and as a guidance of source of guidance, that God will lead me through it, including the rattlesnake. That's a tough nut for me. Confront me with 1,000 rattlesnakes, I'm going to have a real strong tendency to head back. But not when you understand and have faith in the Word of God, you can make it, you can do this. So when you drop the ball, you do not become frustrated. There is a recovery process. Confession alone to God alone. You pick up the pieces and you move forward. You keep moving. Righteousness is the principle of divine integrity, while justice is the function of divine integrity. 11. Man cannot be expected to function under the policies of divine integrity unless he is made knowledgeable of their content. Man cannot be expected to function under the policies of divine integrity unless he is made knowledgeable of their content. He can't do the right thing if you don't know the right thing. And thus the problem of the child that comes into the life. He has a soul imputed to biological life, and within his cardia is a conscience. And that conscience is tabula rasa. There's nothing there. There is no knowledge of right or wrong. So where does this knowledge come from? How do you fill the conscience with principles of right and wrong? Parents are given the initial responsibility. And the parents have to go over here and say, this is right and this is wrong. And if a child insists on doing it wrong, you ensure the fact they understand the issue or the policy, as it were. If they understand the policy and you're clear on that, yet they continue to do it wrong, what you've got here is status quo rebellion. You got a rebel on your hands. And rebellion must be suppressed, and that's Mr. Rod. And Mr. Rod comes in and suppresses the rebellion. Then they start doing it right, and when they do it right, the pain and the sorrow and the misery goes away. Isn't it? You see this? pain and suffering associated with doing it wrong. Over here, no pain and suffering. Doesn't take long to figure this out. And so finally they say, oh, I don't have as much pain and suffering if I do it right. And then when they grow up, they have this conscience, and it has an inventory of right and wrong. And they have been programmed to do it on the right side of the ledger. And then they move into life and hopefully survive. Some do, some don't. Volition's the issue in the angelic conflict. Man cannot be expected then to function under the policies of divine integrity unless he's made knowledgeable of their content. Therefore, 12. The will of God is revealed in the pages of Scripture. The will of God is revealed in the pages of Scripture. 13. In eternity past, God established his will for the human race and placed that policy in the ROM chip of the computer of divine decrees. Omniscient is able to determine what will actually occur, and that goes that God's will is placed on the ROM chip. In eternity past, God established his will for the human race and placed that policy on a ROM chip in the computer of divine decrees. Divine sovereignty etched the chip at the factory, the mind of God. When it goes into the computer, it may not be altered. 14. The decrees certify divine desire and divine policy for the human race. This is certification of divine desire and policy. And one of the things, for example, that's in the ROM chip is Scripture. That's not going to be altered. A lot of people who want to alter Scripture, but they cannot do it legitimately. For here we have the certification. Once it's in the decrees, it is certified and may not be altered. You cannot alter a ROM chip. 15. The decrees also include on a PROM chip all the thoughts, decisions, and actions of the human race for all of human history. Now, in a PROM chip, it sits there, and it may be programmed once. And so God goes out and finds out how to do this. How's this? You are the programmer, and God is the computer operator. Now, I don't know how many of you ladies have ever been involved in operating the computer for some business, but they perch the stuff they want in the computer up on the little thing there, and you enter the data. Now, in essence, God is the computer operator. He puts the data in, and he simply reads off what happened. Oh, he puts it in. Mm-hmm. And he puts it in. Has no impact on what goes on the data sheet there. He simply has the information available and enters it into the computer. You are the person who determines what goes there. You are the programmer. And when your volition decides, you program that PROM chip once. And it cannot be altered after that. You cannot change human history. Once done, it's done. And once it goes in here, that becomes the will of God. As far as the divine decrees are concerned. And so the decrees also include on a PROM chip all the thoughts, decisions, and actions of every member of the human race. Therefore, 16. The ROM chip is etched at the factory. This is the mind of God, specifically his divine righteousness. If it's etched at the factory, when it is installed into the decree, it cannot be changed or altered and is therefore absolute, unalterable policy. A survey was taken recently about how many people believe in this country that there is a supreme being. Is there a God? And something like, 70 or 80% said, yes, there is a God. And then they, in the same interview, asked the same individuals if they believed in absolute principles that do not vary, but are etched in stone for all time. And 70 or 80% said they did not believe in absolute.
which to me indicates the population, or at least that survey group, is removed from reality. How can you believe that there is a God and not believe in absolutes? That's incongruous. It's illogical. It makes no common sense. Or they don't understand the definition of God. They don't know what God means. They should look this up and then take the survey. However, 17, the prom chip may be programmed once, but after that, not altered, thus indicating human free will. God is the computer operator, observes the decision, and then enters it into the computer, programming the prom chip once, and then it may not be altered. Prom chip may be programmed once, but after that, not altered, indicating human free will. 18. This recognizes human volition and the contingency that it may choose to violate established policy. This recognizes human volition and the contingency that it may choose to violate established policy. Why would it be God's will for us to make wrong choices? It's His desire that we do the right thing. But in the computer, we have it as His will that we do the wrong thing. How is this? Because God refuses to manipulate, to coerce, to cajole human volition. It is His will that our volition remain free. And when we choose wrongly, then it is God's will that we have the freedom to do this. You have the right to be wrong. You have the freedom to be wrong. You can take your volition and go whichever direction you wish. Remember the little cartoon, the little guy coming down the path here. And he comes to a wind path, and he's made the advance. He's gone here to the left, and there he is at the X spot. And over here was a sign: no longer an option. The choice was made here. And once you make the choice and go this way, you can't go that way. It's a done deal. As far as this decision is made, it's over. Now, you may can find you a detour back later on, but when it comes to this situation, it's over. No longer an option. So this recognizes human volition and the contingency that it may choose to violate established policy. It is God's will that when you get to the fork in the road, that you be free. If you're free to make the wrong choice, you're as well free to make the right choice. You cannot coerce anyone's volition. God must leave your volition free to accept Christ as Savior. With the same volition that you can freely accept Christ, therefore you can freely reject Him, and vice versa. It must be free, and this is what God wills to occur. So 19, all things are rendered certain in the decrees, including God's will and man's adjustment or maladjustment to it. All things are rendered certain in the decrees, including God's will and man's adjustment or maladjustment to it. Twenty. It is God's desire that His perfect will be done, but because of volition, man can choose not to do so. It is God's desire that His perfect will be done, but because of volition, man can choose not to do so. Now, I have just a few points left, and we'll have an obvious stopping place. So hang in there while I blitzkrieg, and I'll review on Tuesday evening. Point 21, the will of God can be classified in several ways. We'll review this on Tuesday. A, The directive will of God is expressed by direct commands and, if followed, reveals God's plan for your life. The imperative moods of Scripture therefore define the directive will of God. The directive will of God is expressed by direct commands and, if followed, reveals God's plan for your life. B. The preventative will of God, in which God makes doctrine, the laws of divine establishment, and divine discipline available to serve as goads to human volition. That's the preventative will of God. And doctrine is available to goad you back into line. The laws of divine establishment can do this, as well as various forms of discipline, including the goads, etc. That's the preventative will of God. His will is to prevent you from going into wheel tracks of wickedness. C. The overruling will of God, in which Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. This is what we pray for our country. We have lost all hope of using establishment principles to restore order in our client nation. It is now in the hands of God. There's nothing more we can do. And I shouldn't say this, but I will in order to make the point. There's no reason to go vote November 5th. It is out of control. The politicians have lost control. There's nothing they can do. In fact, they have done all they can do to screw up the entire mess. Obviously, you must go vote. It doesn't matter. It's all over as far as Client Nation America as we have come to know it and love it. The only salvation, the only resolution, the only hope we have is Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. He will overrule the madness of our day if we continue to lay wheel tracks of righteousness in our streams of consciousness. We're the ones who make the difference, not the politicians. When people go to the polls November 5th, they ought to be voting for us. Keep these people alive. Keep these people supplied. Keep these people employed. Keep these people moving. They're the only things that can make a difference. And that's a fact. You're it. You're the solution. I don't know if I can motivate you. I could feel like almost ready to strut around like George Wallace for a while. But all I'd do is, may as well just hire Zig Ziglar to come in. He'd get you pumped for 6 weeks, and then we'd be back right where we are. So the Word of God has to motivate you. And you are the resolution, and you are the solution for our problems in this country. And that comes under the overruling will of God, in which Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. D, the permissive will of God permits human volition to choose in opposition to divine will, but in such case, justice imposes discipline. He will do it to the individual, and he will do it to the nation under the five cycles of discipline. And that is his permissive will. He permits it to occur, but not with impunity. 22. Therefore, the will of God is the expression of divine policy. The will of God is the expression of divine policy. 23. The divine decrees recognize the historicity of both divine and human volition. The divine decrees recognize the historicity of both divine and human volition. 24. Divine guidance is therefore based on knowledge of divine will combined with the volitional decision to apply it to life and circumstances. Divine guidance is therefore based on knowledge of divine will combined with the volitional decision to apply it to life and circumstances. And 25, in this way, human decisions line up with divine will and result in divine guidance. Well, I have had to go rather fast on the last few, so on Tuesday evening, we will review points 21 through 25 and then take up paragraph D, the academic basis for divine guidance. Father, we are grateful to you for the privilege and opportunity of gathering here in order to study your precious word. It is our prayer that we would be not only motivated, but that we would be encouraged to take on divine thought. The very prospect of knowing your thought process should be a motivation and an encouragement. And having acquired this knowledge, we would have the power to elevate ourselves above the mundane of cosmos diabolicus. We would have control of our lives through the power of the Spirit, and therefore could continue the advance to Santa Fe in such a way that we would be able to conquer all of the exigencies placed in our way. May all of these things provide us with the wherewithal to continue the advance so that we might glorify Jesus Christ as well as magnify your word in our daily lives. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Charis human kai irene, plethun thai in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu, tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.